I want to draw your attention to the first couple of verses in Acts chapter 3 this morning, if you have your Bibles and would like to read along. The Lord will be with us. We're going to read several different accounts from the book of Acts this morning. So even if we leave one, you may want to leave your finger there, because we may come back to it at some point in time. Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, and John said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. I want to speak today on a subject that I've mentioned in passing over the past couple of weeks, and maybe even longer ago than that. Mentioned the miracles in the Bible before, but I want to specifically mention the miracles contained in Scripture and modern day miracles after the ascension of Christ. So that is our subject this morning, is miracles after the ascension of Christ and modern day miracles. We just read here of an account where Peter and John have walked, they're going to the temple, and they come by one that's usually sitting there peddling for money. If you've ever taken a trip to downtown Atlanta and gotten off on one of those exits, you've probably seen something similar to what this situation probably was. As a matter of fact, you may have seen someone who was lame and crippled doing that very thing. I have. It's an unfortunate circumstance that a lot of people find themselves in. And that's exactly the same case that is taken here with this person who is taken up, is asking for money for people going to the temple. And Peter and John says, I won't give you any money, but I will give you what I do have, which was the ability to be able to tell this person, rise up and walk. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 10, we'll call this the first commission, if you will. The words Great Commission are not found in the Bible, but I don't mind people using them. It's fine with me. But we'll call this the first commission in Matthew chapter 10. The last one, the great one, the one that you always hear mentioned, is in Matthew chapter 28, where the Lord said, Go ye out into all the world, teaching, baptizing in my name, is what he told them. But in Matthew chapter 10, he told them specifically, he said, Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go to the Jews only. Go not down to the Samaritans. Go not to these other tribes. You go to the Jews only. And what did he tell these men, these apostles, specifically, that they were to do? They were to preach the gospel unto them. It's recorded in Luke chapter 9. They were to preach the gospel that the Messiah had come. But he also gave them the specific instructions to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Now, a lot of you who are here today were at my ordination about a year and a half ago. And when the charge was delivered to me, never were any of those directions given to me. And just as they weren't given to me on that day, they're not given to man in this age. Bear with me as we go through this. I'm not saying that the Lord does not heal and do miracles in this age. As I said, we're going to talk about miracles after the ascension of Christ. In Acts chapter 3, the Lord Jesus Christ had already ascended to seat on the right hand of God. If we go back to Acts chapter 1, we read of one standing there watching him go up. And as they stand there, two men robed in white stand there next to him and say, Why look you up at him? He'll come back down again in like manner to get you. Now, it doesn't tell us who that is that's standing there. I happen to believe it's Luke. happen to believe that Luke records the majority of the book of Acts and writes it and pens it. It's all God's word. It doesn't really matter, but I happen to believe Luke pens it. But if you'll read there in Acts chapter 1, when they go back to Jerusalem and go into the upper room, Luke's name is not mentioned amongst the saints there. So I happen to believe that Luke was the one who recorded it, who went back up into the room, who went back in the room. But as soon as they get back in that room, they're, if you will, to get a comparison to modern day times, it's almost like a football team waiting behind the sign that they all run through right before the football game. I take it everybody's been to a high school or a college football game these days, or at least seen one on TV and seen them do that. That's very similar to what they did when they went back to that room. They sat there and they waited on the command from the Lord to go out. And on that day of Pentecost, that great day of Pentecost that we read, that day of Pentecost, if you'll remember, it's not just a New Testament day that we recognize. It was a day that the Jews, going all the way back to the 23rd chapter of Leviticus, it was the day of the Feast of First Fruits. So it was a day that they well recognized. As a matter of fact, the reason why they used that day is because they knew that there would be Jews from all over different territories in Jerusalem that day for the Feast of the First Fruits. And the Lord gave them that command and filled that room with the Holy Spirit, that they gave those apostles cloven tongues, Scripture says, to speak in other languages. Now, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 makes mention of speaking in tongues in the New Testament church. It's not anything I've ever seen, and it may not be something that I'm very comfortable with, because it goes on to say that if there's not an interpreter there to interpret what is being said, it's better not to speak in tongues. So if you turn it over to the Gospel Channel sometime during the week and you see somebody standing up there just blah, 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 and says they're speaking in tongues, that's probably not the Lord's doing. That's probably not what that is. And as a matter, I'll just say it's highly unlikely. I've seen that only about one time on TV, but it is highly unlikely, and that's the reason why the Apostle Paul made mention of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If nobody is there to interpret what he's saying, then it doesn't do any good just to speak that blabber to people, because they don't understand it either. But nonetheless, these tongues were given to these apostles. This was a miracle after the ascension of Christ. Now, we can all read about the miracles if we go back to the Gospels that Jesus Christ himself performed while he was here. He did the same thing. He healed the sick. He cleansed the lepers. He raised the dead. He raised Lazarus. But here, these are men. And don't get me wrong, the men are not doing the healing. The men are not doing the raising, but they're doing it in the presence of men and not just in the presence of Jesus Christ during this time of his ministry. This is Peter and John. Imagine seeing something like this. And whenever you try to imagine seeing something like this, you'll see the reason why the Lord used this gift. These apostles that were preaching and ministering during the time of the book of Acts, they did not have this as we have it today. You either brought your Bible to church this morning, or if not, there's a pew Bible there by you. They didn't have this book compiled. They had the Old Testament. But they didn't have the New Testament where I just read from, the compiled history of the church at Jerusalem there in the book of Acts, or any of the other epistles from Paul, they didn't have. And so whenever you gather here this morning and I read verses of Scripture from the Bible, you're supposed to compare what I say to thus saith the Word of God. But those people didn't have it. And that is the reason why the gift was given unto them, so that everybody who witnessed their preaching and saw them preach, saw them heal, they had to know, or they had to realize, that the Lord was with them. When they saw these things, these people witnessed it. As a matter of fact, the scripture I just read to you says, they ran to the porch, greatly wondering, and seeing the hand of God had to be with these men. They raised up somebody who had sat at the entrance of the temple for years collecting money. They knew it was a cripple. And yet, all of a sudden, that one that was crippled was out walking around. And the ones who saw this had to know that God's hand was upon these men. We need to listen to the things that they're telling us, because these men be them of God. And the same thing goes back to the day of Pentecost, when these cloven tongues were given unto them. And the reason why I went to that example is because as soon as that spirit filled the room and the burden hit these men, they came rushing out into the Feast of the First Fruit ceremonies, and they began to preach and teach in a tongue that was not even their own. Scripture says, are these men not all Galileans, but yet they speak in whatever tongue that was present there that day? These men did not all of a sudden take a foreign language course just like that. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues. This was a miracle that was done by God through man. It was after he ascended to seat on the right hand of God. And these people who saw it, they were just amazed. These people who saw Peter and John heal these people, they were just amazed. And we could go on to Acts chapter 9, and we could read that the Lord made Ananias walk. I mean, the Lord, through Peter, made Ananias walk. Make no mistake about it, when I'm mentioning these men's names, these are not their works. These are the works of the Lord that He was using in the presence of these men so that people would know they were from God. These men come from God. And you say, well, how do we know if men today come from God? Well, if they stand here or stand anywhere else and they preach any other thing other than what is contained in God's Word, Scripture says, let them be accursed. Let them be accursed for it because it's not from God if it doesn't line up with what God's Word says. But as you see these miracles and these things that took place and as marvelous in our eyes as they are, I can tell you I've never seen a crippled man get up and walk. I watched a special the other day, and a lot of you may remember the name, on a man named Jim Jones. What a nut. What a nut. He was out in San Francisco years ago, and he gathered up this large flock of people and took them over to a country in South America and had them all drink cyanide and killed themselves. What a nut. And what a bunch of nuts following him. As a matter of fact, what a sad story. I couldn't even hardly sleep after I saw that. After I watched these people who drug their kids over there, and a lot of them had kids over there, and those kids running and screaming trying to get away from that poisoning, and yet they still poisoned every one of those kids. I forget the number that died over there, and don't go look him up. I don't even know why I mentioned him, but I mentioned him because of the fact that I saw they videotaped one of his worship services, and this lady is in a wheelchair right there in the middle of the aisle, and he's standing up there barking and barking and barking, and he all of a sudden looks at that lady in the wheelchair and says, get up and walk! She comes running down the aisle. Come to find out it was his secretary. She's never been crippled. It was a fake. And he was there just to try to attract the attention, just trying to get a bunch of money or get a bunch of people gathered together to follow him. He was going outside of the authority of the Word of God. And you say, well, how do you know that the Lord cut off these sort of miracles and men performing them? Let's go back to the Old Testament book of Micah. And let's see, the Lord put a timeline on these miracles. And again, the reason why the miracles were there is because the Bible was not completed. It was not written. These people had to know that these apostles were sent by God. And whenever they performed these miracles, they listened to what they preached and listened to what they said. Micah chapter 7 tells us the time period that took place and these marvelous, the length of time that these miracles took place. Verses 14 and 15 of the text that I'd like to use from Micah. Excuse me. Micah chapter 7, verse 14. Feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage, which dwells solitarily in the wood, in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old. Now pay special attention to this next verse of Scripture because it's going to give you a timeline. He says, according to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I shew unto him marvelous things. What were the days from the time period in which the Lord's people, the Israelites, were delivered out of Egyptian bondage until the time that they entered into Canaan land? It was only going to be a few days, but they, through unbelief, went what? Went wandering through the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. Now put this on a timeline from the time of Christ. When did Christ start his ministry? He was 30 years old. Let's say AD 30. The time period 40 years to that puts you at AD 70. And you say, how do you know that these sort of miracles ceased then? Well, if we go to the book of 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul wrote Timothy, and he says, use not water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sakes and for thine often infirmities. He did not say, Timothy, come to me and let me lay my hands on you and all of a sudden you will be healed. These sort of miracles were ceasing to exist as time went on. As time got up to around AD 70, that's when these miracles and these men, these apostles who were performing them, no longer had the gifts to do them. But there are. But God's blessings didn't just end there. God's blessings, just because these miracles, these marvelous miracles that you read about just all of a sudden cease to exist, and guess what? The miracles that you read about in the book of Acts, they're not all quote-unquote good. Scripture says, behold the goodness and severity of God in Romans chapter 11. It's not just, you often hear the statement, God is good. But I tell you what, if you've ever gotten His chastening hand, you might want to use the word God is righteous. It doesn't matter whether or not it comes in good judgment or bad judgment. God is righteous. Behold the goodness and severity of God. That word severity means the roughness. Has God ever dealt rough with you And believe me, it wasn't due out of unrighteousness with him. It was due out of something that you've done wrong to him. Behold the goodness and severity of God. If you'll go over there to Acts chapter 5, you'll find that people lied to him. Lied to him about some things that they had sold, and lied to the apostles about how much they sold it for. Instead of giving it all to the treasury, they lied. And what happened to them? Boom. They fell dead as a doorknob right there in the presence of it. But so when you read these miracles and we say, oh, these marvelous good things, these people getting healed, know that the Lord's severity was involved in these miracles too. We can continue to read on there. I believe it's in Acts chapter 20, Acts chapter 16, where all of a sudden you see this one named Bar-Jesus. Bar-Jesus is his name. Son of Jesus. Bar-Jonah, I've gone through that before, and we see the word bar before name there in God's word, it means son of. Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon, son of Jonah. Barabbas, Simon, son of Abba, son of the Father. But here we read of one named Bar-Jesus. And there's a reason why I mentioned that it's blasphemy to use a name Jesus or Jesus. You see a lot of Latinos that take on the name J-E-S-U-S, and they say, well, that's not Jesus, it's Jesus. No, it's blasphemy. God's word calls him Jesus. You ought not name your children that. It's blasphemy. Well, here we come to one who is named Bar-Jesus. And there is a saint of God who is wanting to hear what these apostles are preaching. And when Bar-Jesus tries to convert him and try to stray him aside and keep him from believing what these apostles are telling him, he's struck blind right there on the spot. Scripture says that rather a millstone be tossed around our neck and be drowned than for one of us to offend one of God's little ones. And this one named Bar-Jesus was offending one of God's little ones. He was fixing to lead him astray, and the apostles struck him blind right there. The Lord struck him blind through the hands of the apostles. And so when you read these miracles after the ascension of Christ, you can read a lot of them were good. They made people walk. They healed the sick. As a matter of fact, you can also read where the Apostle Peter came into the house of one named Tabitha Dorcas. And a lot of people loved the lady. As a matter of fact, it's recorded in Acts chapter 13, verses 6 through 11. You'll read that there was one named Tabitha, one named Dorcas. And the Lord and Peter came in contact with her, and Peter prayed and raised her from the dead. And there all the other widows were standing around there looking at her who loved her very much. And all that word, the whole word of what had happened spread throughout that territory over there. The Lord was using these miracles so people would know this is His kingdom. These are His apostles. This is His church. And you say, well, why did He cut it out? Why didn't He continue it on? Believe me, I'd love to be able to just... I bet we'd fill the house if Brother Will could get here and all of a sudden some people start getting up out of wheelchairs and we start healing and doing these sort of things. But that's not the way the Lord laid it out, so we'll do it the way He did. But the miracles did not cease to exist. The Lord is still standing working miracles today and blessings today. He's always the one who is continuing to heal. Even though we go to doctors and praise God of the advancements that are in medicine today, I thank the Lord for it. My mom is probably alive right now because of the advancements that have had been taken on in chemotherapy. She had breast cancer whenever I was 14 years old. 14 years old. I can remember very well her being sick as a dog for about a year going through those treatments. But I'm here to tell you, I bet she'd tell you today, even though she was sick for a year, she loves the fact that she lived long enough to see her grandchildren and to be a part of her family some more. And it was by a miracle hand of God that these advancements have continued on and we can enjoy these blessings. Psalm 103 verse 3 says, "Who forgiveth all our iniquities and healeth all our diseases." It's the Lord's hand in all of this. But just because you don't see it in the same way that it's recorded in the book of Acts does not mean that God's hand is still not with you. And it's not just healing infirmities. What about the fact that I didn't count this morning, but I usually count heads when everybody gets here. I just like, no, I'm just here. But what about the fact that even by the world standards, this is a pretty small group. I tell you what, I think it's a providential miracle hand of God that this many people want to show up and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in a manner which is laid out in His New Testament pattern. I do. In this world that we live in, where Christianity is football, is basketball, whatever you can get for my kid to do, what do you have for the youth, what can you involve my kids in, what can you babysit for me for an hour and a half so I can go do something else, that's what exists today in Christianity. And when it's out there, the fact that we're here, we ought to fall on our knees and praise God. It didn't matter if it was 5 or 50 of us, and thank the Lord that we can gather here and worship. It's a modern day miracle that there's still a people of God that say, I want to worship the Lord. I'm not interested in football. If I am, I'll go play by myself this afternoon. I'll get up a squad. I don't need to go to the house of God to do it. It's not the place to. It's a place to come and worship, and it is by providence of God. It's a miracle that there's still people out there who still want to do that. Thank the Lord for those things. Don't say that, man, God just left us. We see Him healing. We see Him casting blind and killing these people who persecuted the church back then. How convenient would that be? Somebody give you a hard time about being a primitive Baptist, just have them be struck blind. That's what a lot of people can say. The Lord just left us alone. I have to try to defend God's word and try to stand up for what I believe, as opposed to Him just casting them blind. The Lord is still not done amongst our people. He's still performing miracles today. What about the fact that you believe? I mentioned this last week, that you believe on the Son of God. You know that the Scripture says that the same power... Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 and read that text. Flip with me if you will, because this will be a good thing for you to put in your back pocket, if you will, and use. Because it talks about the power of God enabling you to believe. And it compares it to a mighty power of God. Ephesians chapter 1, if we start reading in... Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? This talks about a power to usward who believe. I believe, and I think I'm comfortable saying that if you're gathered here on a Sunday morning, that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That you believe He paid for your sins on the cross of Calvary. You believe. And this Scripture here says, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? According to the working of His mighty power. You can lay the best evangelist out there. You can lay the best preacher you know of out there. And it still takes the power of God in order for somebody to believe. And what is He compared to? The power of God, the same power of God that enabled you to believe, is compared to what? Next verse of Scripture. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. The same power of God that raised Christ from the grave and has raised Him up, that same in Acts chapter, it's recorded in Acts chapter 1 when He ascended to seat on the right hand of God, the same power that God used to do that is the same power that enabled you to believe. You think the Lord is done with us? I don't think so. I believe the Lord is performing these miracles today. I believe He's still in the process of doing it. You may have your own testimony and story of how the Lord protected you. Scripture says a man that has friends must shew himself to be friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. And I'm telling you that there's a good many of friends that I have here in this world. And I've actually made the comparison that the reason why Christ is closer than a brother is because at a beckoning call, He'll be at your call. He doesn't have to travel. He doesn't have to get in a road. He doesn't have to get on the road to do it. He doesn't have to take one step to do it. But you know, He's with you even when you don't call. There's a friend that's taken closer than a brother. I could stand up here and I could give you a story about the times in my life I shouldn't be alive today. I went through a windshield at 75 miles an hour whenever I was 15 years old. And my face bears a scar to it today. I shouldn't be alive by practical standards. But there was somebody with me on that road that night. And it was not a seatbelt because I didn't have it hooked like I should. It was the Lord Jesus Christ performing a modern day miracle. And He's not done. He watches after His children. Just because we read here in God's Word that these things are not being manifested in the same manner does not mean that the Lord is not watching over us. Is not getting us up, making us walk. Is not healing our infirmities whenever we go to the doctor. We can go to the doctor and thank the Lord for the modern day medicines. Thank the Lord for the things that they have that are healing us. But if we don't recognize the one true and great physician who is doing it all, we're failing to recognize the reason why we're still well. I thank the Lord for the opportunity that I had to go and pray. The doctor that delivered our first child was a Christian man. He wanted to pray with us during the process of delivering our child. He knew who had to be by our side in order for things to go well. You can get the best doctor in the world, but if the Lord doesn't bless the process in His modern day form of miracles, then you can just cast it all aside. He is the one who keeps it in place. Not the fanciness of medicine. These are modern day miracles. It is a modern day miracle that you believe that blood washes something clean. I mentioned this last week. But you think about that for just a second. I got blood because I cut myself shaving yesterday morning on my collar of my shirt I wore yesterday. White shirt. And I got blood on it. And that thing's going to be aggravating to get out. I think I'm probably going to have to just fold my shirt differently because it may not come out. You know how it is. Sometimes it will, sometimes it won't. But yet you believe that blood washed you clean by the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that, don't you? I believe that. But just as we believe that, just as we believe that blood washed us clean, the idea of it is somewhat foreign. Speaking as blood is the most aggravating thing to get out of any sort of clothing. Think about it on the flip side. Once you get blood in something, you can't get it out. And I tell you what, once the blood was applied to you as a poor alien sinner of the Lord Jesus Christ, not any work of the devil here in this world is going to be able to get that blood out of you. He sprinkled it on you, and he sprinkled it on the mercy seat of God. And he said, those are one of mine. You can't get my blood off of him. That one's mine. He's coming to heaven with me. That's a beautiful story behind that. There's a modern-day miracle that he's still saving his children. The same power that is wrought in us to believe these things is the same power that healed these people in the book of Acts. The Apostle Paul, I've been preaching for about 30 minutes already. But I tell you what, Acts chapter 20 tells us that the Apostle Paul preached on into midnight. He did. We may plan that for our next annual meeting. We're going to have an Apostle Paul type annual meeting. We're going to gather here at 8 o'clock, and we're going to preach right on up into midnight. And Scripture says that there was a young man sitting in the windowsill who fell out, Eutychus was his name, who fell out to the ground, and it killed him. It killed him. You think we've meeting here a while? Those saints there gathered at Troas met longer. They were met right on into midnight, and Eutychus fell dead. And here, the Lord sends Paul over there, and the Apostle Paul picks him up, and Scripture says he's dead, but he says his life is still in him. How is his life still in him? The Apostle Paul lifted him up and brought him back to life. These things were witnessed by these people. We're not going to see that. I don't think. I tell you, I don't see in God's Word what we will. I'll put it that way. We won't see these sort of things, but the Lord's not done watching over us. The Lord's not done with us. The Apostle Paul, if we continue to read, got bit by a venomous viper. He was bit by a snake. I hate snakes. I kill them. I don't care what kind they are. I don't care if they're good ones to eat for rats. A good snake is a dead snake. I don't care what kind it is. I run over it. I kill it with a pistol. I do whatever I can. I don't care if it bites. I don't care if it's poisonous. My landlord the other day had one right there by our house. He said, I'm not going to kill it. I wasn't at home. He said, I'm not going to kill it because this one eats snakes or eats rats. I said, we got a cat. That cat will eat rats. Kill the snake. We got a cat that will take care of the rats. Kill the snake. But I wasn't there. He didn't kill it. I would have killed it if I was there. I don't care. A good snake is a dead snake. And the Apostle Paul was bit by a venomous viper. Nothing happened to him. Those other prisoners who had gone to shore whenever their shipwreck went to, started looking at the Apostle Paul and said, he may have survived the shipwreck, but buddy, he's guilty of something because he just got bit by a snake and they backed off from him and the Apostle Paul just sat there. Nothing happened to him. I don't think they had snake biting kits back then, do you? We had one in, Daddy had one in his truck glove department, but I can remember looking at that thing just about every day. And I don't want to say I was hoping somebody would get bit by a snake, but I always wondered if we'd get to use it. And we never got to use it. None of us got bit by a snake. But they didn't have those things back then. The Apostle Paul sat there by the healing power of God, and it did nothing to him. But I'm here to tell you, as you read these things, don't be frustrated that God is done with us, because he's not. I just laid out several examples of how the Lord has continued. These things are miracles, brethren. It's a miracle that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a miracle that he continues to heal us, that he continues to send his blessings upon us. It is a miracle that that a lot of us are alive through our own testimony. It's a miracle. You know, I could give another story, and I've got time to give one more illustration. I want to tell you a little bit about the story, and I may have told some of you this in private about that young man who just came out of a coma. That's the grandson of the people that we live with right there. He's in the Shepherd Center now, going through rehab. The boy's awake. A miracle. But let's go back to what happened from the beginning of his wreck. When a boat hit him on a lake. 30 yards from where he was hit. That's 90 feet from where he was hit. On the dock of where he was hit. There was a doctor and a nurse on the dock. Right there. Immediately. Call 911. Immediately. They swam him to the dock. Got him up on the dock. Within 20 minutes of being hit by a boat on a lake in Blairsville. Needless to say, not that many hospitals up in that part of the country have helicopters. But within 20 minutes, that young man was on a helicopter headed to Chattanooga. Within 30 minutes of being hit by a boat on a lake in Blairsville, Georgia, he was in ICU in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And brethren, let me tell you something. The Lord didn't send that boat to hit that young man. If anybody tries to declare that against my God, they're going to have an argument on their hands with me. God didn't do that. But God's providential hand was there to take care of him when it happened. That was not just an accident that all of a sudden he got hit there, and all of a sudden that those doctors were there. All of a sudden that the chopper that was leaving Calhoun headed back to Chattanooga took a detour, which even the pilot admitted whenever we first get the call, we never head in that direction. Whenever we first get a call, we never just go. But some told us, just go, as opposed to going back to Chattanooga. They just went. What was that? That was the providential hand of God in a modern-day miracle sent him over there, and the man's alive today because of it. It's not just a full-blown miracle whenever he walks out of the hospital. There's bits and pieces of modern-day miracles. The Lord is watching after his people. What a great God we serve, and how much we should be thankful for that he has not left us here in this sin-cursed world, that he's still looking after us. When we read these examples in the book of Acts, we're supposed to take them for what they are. Take them in the context in which they were given. The context was they didn't have a Bible. The people of God back then had to know these men were sent by God. He preached, they preached, and in order for people to listen to them and know that they were quoting Old Testament texts and giving New Testament references to Jesus Christ, they performed these miracles so people would look on them. And if you read these examples that I've given you, you'll see that the communities in which they performed them, they flocked to the church and flocked to God because of it. And you know what? There's hope that your neighbors will flock to God and follow you to church and come and be a part of your worship service if you tell them what the Lord has done for you. Just as these people were witnessing miracles, go tell people what the Lord has done for you. Go tell people what the and I'm not sending us out on some kind of let's set a number campaign. I'm not doing that. You know I'm not. The Lord I had to increase. But we ought to never be ashamed of our God and telling people what he's done for us and saying that although these miracles were much more manifest in the eyes of the public, these miracles are not much more manifest in our eyes because we know that he is still among us and still performing these today. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.